For those of you visiting with us this morning, we have been studying through this last book of the Bible this year. And we have been looking at the future as God has revealed it to John and to us through his precious word. And this morning we are in Revelation chapter number 20. Let's read verses 11 to 15. Let's begin in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to this portion of Scripture that you have told us of these events that are to come, help us, dear Lord, to hear what you desire for us to hear this morning. Lord, we know that no one here present under the sound of your word is here by chance. Lord, I do pray that if there's anyone here this morning that is not sure whether they're saved, whether their names are written down in the book of life of the Lamb, of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I do pray that this would be the day of their salvation. Lord, that they would repent of their sins and call on you as Saviour while there is still time. Lord, I pray as Christians that we would be revived in our urgency to be a light, to be witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the time is at hand. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Some of you may have heard of a famous evangelist in his day named Billy Sunday. Well, Billy Sunday once was in England preaching at a university campus. And as he was preaching to the crowded auditorium before him, he began to speak about the reality of a place called hell. Now, as soon as he got started, one of the university lecturers stood up and said, "Excuse me, sir, we are educated individuals here at this university. We do not believe in a place called hell." To that, Billy Sunday said, "That man will not be in hell 2 seconds longer before he realizes he was wrong. He was wrong." My friends, the reality of hell is a reality that God tells us of in the Bible. And we too also live in a day where most people in the world do not believe in a literal hellfire. They do not believe in a literal lake of fire. In fact, more common today than not, even among so-called Christians, there is a belief that in the end, God will bring everyone by His grace into heaven, some way, somehow. My friends, that's not what the Bible says. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ taught us in His words, in the Bible, of the reality of hell. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 33, as the religious Jews gathered around, Christ rejecting religious people, He said this to them. He said, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" You see, the Lord Jesus taught about hell. In fact, He taught more about hell than He did about heaven. Why? Because He didn't want anyone to go there. The Lord Jesus said, "I am come to seek and to save that which is lost." As we come to Revelation chapter number 20, we come to perhaps the most horrible event in the Bible. And here we see untold multitudes at the end of time, from the time of Cain to the end of the millennium, people that have rejected Jesus Christ as their personal Savior will stand in judgment and will be there and lost forever. The subject of our message this morning is the great white judgment throne. And let us understand this morning that God wants us to know what will happen. He wants His children, Christians, to know what will take place. And He wants every lost sinner to know of the end, so that they may repent of their sins and return to Christ. For whatever reason the Lord has brought you here this morning, let me encourage you to hear what John saw, to see what's in the Scriptures this morning. John tells us three things as we begin in Revelation 20. He tells us, first of all, who the judge is. Then he tells us who will be these ones that will be judged. And then he tells us what the judgment will be. Notice there, first of all, let's see what John saw. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it. First of all, John describes to us what he saw. What did he see? He saw the judge on the throne. He saw the judge on the throne. Notice the picture that we are given of this throne. The Bible says that this throne is great. John said, and I saw. That's one of the statements that John repeats over and over as he writes the book of the Revelation. God had given John a vision of the future, a vision of reality, so he could pen the words of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and we can read today what the future will hold. My friends, this is a reality. This is an event that is coming, and the time is at hand. John saw a throne that was great. My friends, this was nothing like anything John had seen before. He saw a throne of great size and of immense proportions that he had never seen. A throne of power and of might. You see, at this throne, there is no higher. At this throne, God will deal out His judgment. At this throne, the Lord sits as the authority of the universe. And when those that stand before this throne face the judgment that is due, my friends, there will be no appeals. There will be no second appeals or third. If you're familiar with our court system today, if you go to court and an accusation is made against you, you can appeal that accusation. You can go to a higher court. You can appeal to a higher judge. And my friends, what John saw was the great white throne. There is no higher court in the universe. There is no higher judgment to appeal for. At the end of this judgment, the decision will be final. There is no appeal. The great throne. Notice it is a white throne. It is a white throne there in verse 11. The color white describes the fact of purity, of perfect righteousness. You see, God is a holy God. He's a God who has never sinned, who never will sin, and never can sin. God is holy. He is without sin. He is perfect. He is righteous. He is pure, as we have just sung. God is holy. And you see, at the great white judgment throne, there will be no mistakes. Now, in our court system today, it does happen that the guilty go free and the free are imprisoned. The innocent are imprisoned. Why is that? Because you see, as a sinner, the judge is not perfect. As sinners, the jury is not perfect. The courts of today are dealing with imperfect people trying to make a perfect decision. That's why often judgments are not fair. That's why often judgments need to be appealed. But you see, at the great white judgment throne, it will be God that will judge. And God does not make any mistakes. God is infallible. He is holy. He is perfectly sinless, and His judgment will be fair. You see, at this throne of judgment, no one can throw up their arms and say, that's unfair. Because God's judgment will be fair, perfectly righteous, holy, and pure. Now that's the picture we're given of the throne. Notice the person on the throne. Verse 11 says, "And him that sat on it." Who is it that sits upon this throne in judgment? Who sits on the great white judgment throne? Well, let's have a look what John wrote back in John chapter number 5 and verse 22. We're not told in the book of the Revelation, but we'll look with me in the book of John chapter 5, verse 22. Let's look at a couple of verses together this morning. John chapter 5 and verse 22. Who is it that will sit in judgment on the throne? John chapter 5 and verse 22. Let's read this verse aloud together on two. One, two. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Go to verse 27. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Come with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and number 1. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Who is this one that sits upon the throne? 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Notice Paul's charge to Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. You see, my friends, the judge that sits upon the great white judgment throne is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Savior of the world has now become the judge of the world. My friends, during this time of December, we remember Christ's first coming. We remember the first time he came and how he was born in a manger. And we remember how the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth and took upon himself human flesh and then grew and suffered as a man and went to an old rugged cross, and there he paid for the sins of the world once and for all. We remember his first coming. But my friends, notice what the Bible tells us. The second time he comes, he does not come as the Savior. He comes as the judge. When Christ comes again, we see what the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 1, that the Lord lifted up in his glory has eyes as flames of fire. The piercing eyes of Christ see into the depths of the heart of man. He can see through all things. He has feet like unto fine brass, which represent feet of judgment. You see, the Savior one day will be the judge. Last week we looked at the millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000-year reign of Christ upon the earth. At the end of that 1,000 years, the Lord Jesus Christ will judge those who rise up in the final rebellion. And then following that, we see a judgment will take place in the heavens unlike nothing that has ever been before. The great white judgment throne. Christ Jesus is the person on the throne. Now, before we go on, let me say this. As we sit here this morning, in December 2015, my friends, we are sitting between the time of Christ's first coming and the time of Christ's second coming. My friends, the rapture has not happened. My friends, the Lord's second coming has not occurred. And let me say this, the great white judgment throne is yet to come, but it has yet not happened. It is still in the future. And my friends, that means the door of salvation is still open. Amen. But it is only open for a time. The Bible says the time is at hand. My friends, we are pressing into the future, and salvation is for all, but it is not for all time. It is not for all time. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. But one day that door will close, and it will be closed forever. And the lost will be judged before the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning, are you 100% sure your sins have been forgiven under the blood of Jesus Christ? Has there been a time in your life where you saw that you were a wicked sinner, just like the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us can get to heaven. None of us can earn our way to God. None of us have done anything that is worthy of forgiveness and salvation. Did you realize you were a sinner headed to hell? Was there a time that you realized that there was a Savior who suffered and died on the cross, who took your sins upon Himself, who bore your wrath upon Himself, who bore the wrath of God's judgment on Himself on the cross, so that your sins would be paid for, so that my sins would be paid for? Was there a time that you saw such a Savior and that you turned from your sins and you asked Jesus Christ to save you once and for all? My friends, we're not talking about a prayer this morning. We're talking about a Savior. We're not talking about a ticket to heaven this morning. We're talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. Has there been a time that you turn to Jesus Christ as Savior? My friends, if you're not sure, this has to be the day of your salvation. You need to choose to be saved before it's too late. If you reject Him as Savior, you will receive Him as your judge. He is the person on the throne. Back in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, we've seen the picture of the throne, the person on the throne. Notice the peril at the throne in verse 11. The Bible says, "From whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." The Bible says the heaven and the earth won't be able to stand before the face of the Son of God. And that may be in the reference of what we will see next week, of God creating a new heaven and a new earth. But notice the peril at the throne. Those who stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white judgment throne will have no place in the new heaven, will have no place in the new earth. In fact, there will be no place found for them. What a catastrophe. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus Christ first came to this world? As we think about the month of December, as we think about His first coming, many Christmas greeting cards will show the picture of the Lord Jesus born in an animal stable, born in a manger. Why? Because you see, there was no room for Him in the inn. Remember, as He grew and declared the truth of the Word of God, there was no room in most people's hearts for Him. And as we come to this year, and as we see the Christmas festivities around us, isn't it very obvious that there's no room for Christ in Christmas anymore? But there is a day coming, my friends, when the loss of all history will stand before the Lord, and they will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in judgment, and there will be no place found for them. He is the judge on the throne. Notice secondly, the judged at the throne. Who will be there at this judgment? Who will stand before the Lord at the great white judgment throne? Now remember, John is looking into the future. John is seeing who will be there and what will happen. And let me say this, many people today are desperately seeking the answers to what will happen in the future. People pay lots of money to palm readers and tarot card readers and all this new age spiritism, which is just a business to milk people out of money. Why? Because people are worried about the future. You see, man has a conscience, and man knows that in the depths of their heart that they are a sinner. And man is desperately seeking after the answers. What will the future hold? What will the future hold? I heard about a magazine article written about Donald Trump. In 1989, the writer of Pursuit magazine asked Donald Trump the question about what horizons has he yet to conquer. Now, obviously, he hadn't thought at that stage about going into politics. And now he wants to conquer something else so he can put that down on his list. And as this writer asked Donald Trump, "What else is there in the future for you?" He said this, "Right now, I'm genuinely enjoying myself. I work, I don't worry." And the writer asked, "Well, what about death? What about death? Don't you worry about dying?" Donald Trump gave his stock answer that appears in a lot of his interviews, and he said this. He said, "No, I don't worry about dying. I am a fatalist, but I protect myself just as much as anyone else. I prepare for things." This time, the writer said, he hesitated for a moment. And he finally said, "Look, I don't believe in reincarnation I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in hell. But I believe we all go to some place. And again he paused and he said to the writer, do you know, he added, I cannot for the life of me figure out where that place will be. My friends, God has told us where that place will be. It is either in heaven for eternity, or either it is in the lake for eternity, the lake of fire. And you see, my friends, John saw what will happen. Not only did he see the judge on the throne, but he saw the judged at the throne. Who will be these ones standing at the great white judgment throne? Notice verse 12. Once again, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The Bible tells us in verse number 12 that these are the unsaved of history, all the way from Cain to the end of the millennium. That these are those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. These are the dead, risen up in the second resurrection to stand before God. They were not on earth during the millennium. Notice verse number 5. Verse number 5 of chapter 20. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. During the 1,000-year reign of Christ, all those that have been saved will be present on the earth. But those that rejected Christ, those that refused the gift of eternal life, will be raised up from hell to be judged before the great white judgment throne. That is the second resurrection. That is the second death. Those that stand before the great white throne are not the saved. You see, the Bible tells us there is another judgment for the Christian. But it's not for salvation. It is for our life here on earth. Did we serve God? If we did, there will be rewards. If we didn't, we will lose rewards. But the day of salvation takes place on this earth, amen? When you repent of your sins and receive Christ, you are sealed until the day of redemption. Saved forever. Safe forever. But those that die without Jesus Christ as Saviour are the ones who appear here. The dead. The small and the great. That simply means those who are famous. Those who are rich. Those who are popular. Those who had power. The kings and the queens and the rulers and the Hollywood stars that rejected Christ. My friends, they will not be able to buy their way into heaven. They will not be able to twist the arm of God. They will not be able to impress him with their popularity. They will stand before the Lord in judgment. Notice also the small. These are those who have rejected Christ that were not the popular of this world. And yet their refusal of Jesus Christ will also bring them before the great white throne of judgment. The lost of the ages will be gathered there. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 29, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. You see, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, every single soul that ever lived will also rise from the dead. The question is, which resurrection will you be in? Will you be risen to eternal life forever to be with the Lord, or will you be risen to face the great white judgment throne? These are the dead. The dead will appear. The small and the great, no matter who they are, no matter where they died, no matter when they died, they will be in that number. The question is, will we be in that number? My friend, where will you stand in the last day? Will you be with the Lord, or will you have to face the Lord as judge? John 11:25 says this. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Thank God there is a Saviour who is seeking to save that which is lost. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. He is the one that paid for our sins. He is the one that rose again from the dead. When we put our trust in him as Saviour once and for all, we know we will rise to eternal life to be with him. Amen. My friends, have you got Jesus Christ as Saviour? I'm not saying, have you got a piece of paper with your name written down and a date that you prayed a prayer? Let me ask you the question, have you got Jesus Christ as your Savior? Was there a time in your life where God did such a work in your heart that He broke your heart over the guiltiness of your sin and you repented and cried out to the Lord to save you once and for all? Was there a day that you were born again, never to be lost, into the family of God? My friends, if you're not sure, you may be in this number, standing at the great white judgment throne. The dead will appear. Notice next in verse number 12, the books will appear. The books will appear. Verse number 12 speaks of books at this judgment seat. The Bible says, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The Bible says the books were open. We don't know of all the books that will be opened on that day, but we do know of a few. Notice with me John chapter number 12. It's interesting how we read of what John saw in Revelation. And then we read once again in the book of John chapter 12. In verse 48, John chapter 12 and verse 48. Notice what the Lord Jesus says here. John chapter 12 and verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. What books will be opened at the great white judgment throne? Well, the Word of God will be opened. You see, it is the Word of God that is God's judge on our sins. As we see what God sees, as we see His holiness and His righteousness and His judgment upon sins, it is the Word of God that will judge us if we are lost. It is the Word of God that will be the standard if we have never received Christ Jesus as Savior. You see, the Bible says He will judge by His Word. My friends, the Bible is the most hated, the most rejected book in the history of mankind, and it will be the very book that will judge the lost in the last day. The Word of God will be the measure of judgment. Now, wouldn't it be better just to believe God's Word today? Wouldn't it be better to understand that what He says is the truth? Wouldn't it be better to believe Him today than to stand at the great white judgment throne? The book of His Word. Notice the book of life. The book of life is open there in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. The Bible says another book was opened, which is the book of life. The book of life. Revelation 13 and verse 8. Notice there what the Bible says. Revelation 13 and verse 8. During the tribulation, this is a description of those who have rejected Christ. Verse number 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him, in whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. What is the book of life? My friends, the book of life is a book that contains the names of every born-again child of God. It is a book of salvation. It is a book of life, the book of life of the Lamb, the Lamb's book of life. This book contains only the names of God's redeemed people. You see, every person that has ever repented of their sins and has received Jesus Christ as their Savior has their name written in this book. No unsaved person will have their name written in this book. Revelation 17 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 8. Look with me there. And the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life, from the foundation of the world. And they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. Imagine the horror of standing before the Lord at the great white judgment throne, and the Word of God is open. The Word of God that lost one has rejected and said, "No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that there is only one way to God. I don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. I don't believe I need a Savior from sin." Can you imagine standing before the Lord Jesus Himself and the Word of God is opened, which was rejected? Then can you imagine the book of life is open? and the names are read out. And the lost stand before the Lord, the small and the great, and not one of them has their name written in that book. Not one of them has a place written in that book. And there was no place found for them. My friends, if you're not sure whether you're written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you can respond to this book this morning. Isn't that right? You can respond to the urging of the Holy Spirit of God. My friends, if we read these verses out this morning and there is a sick feeling in the pit of your stomach and you're worrying about your salvation, that's the Spirit of God saying you need to be saved. That's the Spirit of God saying God's judgment is coming. But the question is, what will you choose to do? Will you receive Him as your Savior before it's too late? Or will you face Him as your judge? The book of works is opened also. Notice verse number 12. Verse number 12, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. The Bible says, "And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." There will be another book, the Bible says, that will contain all the sins of those that stood before God. All their wicked thoughts. All their wicked actions. Can you imagine every lie written down? Can you imagine every hateful thought written down? Can you imagine every lustful thought written down? For the Lord Jesus said, the act of adultery does not take place in the action, but it begins in the heart. My friends, those who are not saved will stand before God in judgment. The book of works will be opened. The book of works. Imagine the horror of hearing the sins of your life that have mounted up to heaven read out. Notice verse 13. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and they were judged every man according to their works." This may be a reference to the tribulation. Do you remember the judgments upon the earth? Do you remember the untold millions that will die in those judgments? And can you imagine the millions that will be in the sea? The Bible says they cannot escape this judgment. The Bible says those that are dead, those that are in hell, having died in their sins, cannot escape this judgment. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Those that died without Christ and are in hell will be resurrected to the judgment of the great white throne. But notice verse 13. At the end it says, "And they were judged every man according to their works." You see, mankind today thinks that when they die, their good works will be weighed against their bad. And if their good works outweigh the bad, then they'll get to a better place. My friends, that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible says, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And the only way of salvation is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And that's not in the eternity to come, that's in this life, right now, today. "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found." But you see, in the eternity to come, when the lost who have rejected Christ stand before the great white judgment throne, their works will be on display. Their sins will be totaled up, and they will be judged according to their works. Imagine every deed measured up in the light of the Word of God. And God will deal out the punishment that a just God will declare is fair. Why will their works, why will they be judged according to their works, you might ask? Well, based on this fact, we understand that there will be different degrees of punishment in the lake of fire. The Bible doesn't tell us all the details in this last book of the Bible, but there will be different degrees of punishment in the lake of fire. Now, if for a moment you think that is any relief, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ described the lake of fire as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, as a place of eternal torment, a place of eternal darkness, a place of eternal suffering, where one goes they can never come out from. Even the least degree of punishment is catastrophic. But God is a just God, you see. God is a just God, and those who have committed the most heinous, wicked acts before the Lord will be brought to justice before God. My friends, Hitler will be there, and he will receive his due judgment according to his works. But yet the average unsaved intellectual atheist that thinks he's a good person also will be there. And he will be judged according to his works. And the judgment will be the same, cast into the lake of fire. Can you see the tragedy of this time in the future? My friends, these are not comfortable verses to study, to understand, to learn. But God says we need to know them. Understand the picture of what we see. Who is seated upon the throne? Speak to me for a moment. Who is seated there? The Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, He is the one that came to this wicked, sin-cursed earth to save all that would call upon Him as Savior. He is the one that promises when we repent of our sins, our names are written in the book of life. He is the one that promises our sins are washed away forever. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our sins from us. Do you understand that the moment you're saved, that you're born again, those wicked works are blotted out of the book of works. And what is in the place may say this, washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. That's what Jesus Christ has done for us, if we're saved. But what a tragedy for these lost of all the ages to stand before the Lord in judgment, and their names are not there in the book of life. Their names are there in the book of works. Their works will be there. The books will be open. My friend, has your name been blotted out? Are you 100% sure that if you died today, you would be in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ? Not because you pray to Him, not because you go to church, not because your name is written down in the membership book of this church. That will not get you to heaven, but because you know Christ lives in you. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that began the day you were born again? Well, my friends, we've seen the judge on the throne. We've seen the judged at the throne. Lastly, we see the judgment from the throne. As we conclude, notice with me in verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. My friends, it is a fearful judgment. All that appear at this judgment will go to the same place. There is no ifs, there is no buts, there is no side door, my friends. It is in one place and one place alone, the lake of fire. What is the lake of fire like? Look in verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. My friends, it is a lake of fire. It is a place of burning. It is a place of torment, and it is a place that will last forever. The beast and the false prophet were cast into the lake of fire before the 1,000 years. 1,000 years later, in the future, the devil is cast into the lake of fire. And who does he meet there? The beast and the false prophet. They are still there, burning and weeping and gnashing their teeth. Hell is eternal. The lake of fire is forever. It is a fearful judgment. And it is a place that the devil is. That reminds me this morning that God did not create the lake of fire for you and I. The Bible says that the Lord tragically will have to say to many in that day, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for whom? The devil and his angels. When the devil sinned, when the angels rebelled against God, God destined that place for them. But you see, the problem is, we too have sinned. We have followed the devil. And if we die in our sins, we will go all the way to the end where the devil goes, the lake of fire. We will follow him there if we are lost in our sins. Many people say today, well, I just don't want to believe that a loving God will send people to hell. I just don't want to believe that because God says that he is love. My friends, a holy God cannot let sin go unpunished. So he chose to pay for it himself. That is the love of God. But if we reject that love, we face His judgment. You see, at the great white judgment throne, there will be no appeal. There will be no second chance. There will be no grace at this throne. There will be no mercy at this throne. There will be no compassion at this throne. You might say this morning, Pastor, that doesn't sound like God. Yes, it is, my friends, because you can have all the grace, all the love, all the compassion, all the forgiveness, but you can have it now. Right now, while there's still time. One day the door of salvation, the day of grace, the day of forgiveness will be over. And those who have made their choice will stand at the throne, the great white judgment throne, be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The word death means separation. These ones in that lake of fire will not die. There will be no dying. There will be no annihilation. There will be no escape. There will be no death in the lake of fire. If we would simply see for 1 second how bad sin really is, then we would agree with God that this is the judgment we all deserve. The judgment from the throne. Notice it is a final judgment. Revelation 20 verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. As we close this judgment, this court room in heaven will be unlike anything we can possibly know here on earth. There will be a judge, but there will be no jury. There will be a prosecutor, but there will be no defense. There will be a sentence, but there will be no appeal. The verdict will be final, and the judgment will be in eternity and the lake of fire. But let me close with this. It is not only a fearful judgment, a final judgment, but it is a foolish judgment. Why is it foolish? Because, my friends, it never had to happen for you. Because you can be saved today. That's why Jesus Christ came. You see, the books will be open just like the Bible is open this morning. But the question is, will you receive the Word of God and respond for salvation? The book of life will be open. And my friend, your name can be written down in that book this morning, today, if you receive Him as Savior. That's why it's a foolish judgment. Because you should never be there. My friend, if you end up in the lake of fire, you are an imposter. You are an imposter. Because God brought you here to be saved. In His love, He offers you salvation full and free. But you see, there's something inside you right now, if you're lost, that tells you, no, I don't need that. I prayed a prayer. I've got it written down. In fact, I know who I prayed with. He told me I'm saved. The question is, are you a new creature in Jesus Christ? Has God done such a work in your life that you can look at it today and say, I've got new desires that I never had before. I have a hatred for sin that I didn't have before. I have a love for the Lord that I did not have before. My friend, has there been a change? The evidence of salvation is not a prayer and a date. It is a changed life. But the good news is, my friend, God is a wonderful, loving, heavenly Father. And He seeks the lost sheep. He looks for the lost treasure. He's seeking the lost son. And He will endure for all our lives in long suffering to bring us to salvation. My friends, don't make the foolish decision of leaving here this morning and dying without Jesus Christ. This is the most horrible event that we will read of in the book of the Revelation. It is forever and it is coming. Do you need to be saved today? The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Salvation. That is the most important thing. There is nothing else more important. Yes, we need to serve the Lord. Yes, we need to love the Lord. Yes, we need to grow as Christians. But my friends, if you are not saved, you will stand at the great white judgment throne with everyone else, the great and the small of the unsaved history of man. In closing, Christian, if you know you have been born again, what will your response be to the book that is open this morning? You see, God has written this to Christians. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the lost. They need to hear, yes, but from whom? The churches, the Christians, who will tell them if we will not go? Christian, are you stirred in your heart to have some more boldness this week to say something to your workmate? To share your testimony? to share the gospel. My friends, all of us have friends and family and neighbors that are headed to the lake of fire. Ought we not to have more courage to speak up before it's too late? Why is it in the next chapter we see that then, and only then, God wipes away all tears? Why is it? Perhaps it could be that you and I will be weeping as we see the judgment to come. Perhaps you and I will need our tears wiped away, because there will be tears. There will be sorrow. There will be weeping. My friends, the time is now to serve the Lord. Here at Coastline Baptist Church, why are we preaching through the book of the Revelation? Because we are not here to stroke your ego, to stroke your confidence, to pat you on the back and say, live as you please, and that's okay with God. My friends, it is not okay with God. God is serious. God is holy. The great white judgment throne is reality, and it is coming. What are we doing about it? Are we going to take any invitations this month, I wonder, and hand them out to someone and say, look, can you just turn to the back and can I ask you a question? If you died today, do you know where you'll spend eternity? Have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Can I quickly share some verses from the Bible which can show you how? Will you be bold this month? Will you be bold as a Christian? The time is at hand. The time is at hand. If anything, Christian, are you thankful for your salvation? You know what the Lord said to his disciples? Let me tell you one thing to rejoice in, that your name is written in the book of life. We have everything to rejoice in as Christians, and we have everything to be thankful for. That thankfulness ought to flow out into our witness this week, this month, this life. Will you serve the Lord? Now, if you want to be a better witness and you want something to do, come and see me. There's much to do. The Spirit and the Bride say come. Let's go into this world, amen, and tell the world about a loving Savior who is seeking to save that which is lost.